Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers. Welcome back to the Good Doctor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking Season 2, Episode 13, Jin, and it means heart. Sean has a big ol' heart and just wants to help those he cares about. A family reunites, and Morgan giving love advice? What? We also have a really special guest here who's going to answer most of your questions, so don't go anywhere.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back to the Good Doctor After Show. We have a full house in here, a full house of ladies. We are so excited to talk about this episode. I'm your host, Veronica Valencia, and to my left we have...
Hey guys, it's me, Carlina Will.
Hey guys, Jamie Alexander, thanks for having me.
And I am Tequila Jackson.
And if you have been keeping us, and if you have been following us from last week's episode and following us on Twitter, you would know that our special guest is Simran Baidwan. Y'all, she is the reason we weep. She is the reason we laugh. She is the reason for all of it. How are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Coming up later in the show, of course, we're going to be talking about Leah and Sean. We're going to be talking about Glassman and his recovery. We will be talking about the mechanical heart patient, as well as Lim and Melendez trying to keep their relationship a secret, as well as we will highlight a real-life good doctor. But until then, everyone, tonight's episode, what did we think?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. The Leah and Sean thing, I just felt so awkward for that, so I'm excited to get into that situation. It was awkward with a capital A, and then just I was really upset with Glassman, you know, on how he treated Sean, so I'm excited to get more into that.
He just wants to love people.
Yeah, I enjoyed the episode. I really liked the way all of the relationships were highlighted in a different way. It definitely tugged on my heartstrings. So I'm excited to get into it because there was a lot of little nuances and, you know, relationship, whether it was dating relationship or, like you said, Sean and Glassman, or even the relationship with Grace Lee and her mom. So the relationships, it really stood out, and it just tugged on my heartstrings. So I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to piggyback off of you, Jamie. I feel like this is the first episode that I just, like, almost cried. Like, really? Almost. Y'all know that I'm so in tune to everything when I watch. So every little thing gets into me. But this is because I have tunnel vision and I'm just focused on it so hard. I think the Leah and awkward is a great word, but I just felt so bad for Sean. Like, that just had tugged at my heartstrings. And then Dr. Glassman, we need to get happy Dr. Glassman. We need to get him back.
Yeah, we definitely need
to get him healthy, and yeah.
I agree with all of you. Sean definitely broke my heart a little bit. And Simran, I know it has been a little bit of a while since you worked on this episode, but do you remember what it was like writing this specific episode?
Well, this episode I didn't write. Brian Shin wrote this episode. He did a wonderful job. He's a staff writer on the show. It was directed by David Strayton, who has done, you know, a gazillion shows. I actually went to Vancouver and helped produce the show with Brian, so I was on set for a while. We had two phenomenal actors that I got to work with when we were there who played the autistic couple. They were amazing, Vered Blonstein and Alex Plank, who are actually from the autistic community, and they are just, they're amazing actors, period. Aww. And so it was a real pleasure to work with them as well. So that when I was there for that first week, I got to work with them. But, you know, we get to help break the episodes and, you know, really go over the stories and go over everything together. But this was was really Brian's brainchild as mm-hmm. far as the mechanical heart and really wanting to put forward, you know, a couple from the autistic community and putting them at the forefront of the story.
I was going to ask, was it discussed in the writing room if you specifically wanted actors from the autistic community 100%. To portray these characters?
Oh. 100%. Yeah, I think it's really important to have representation from, authentic representation mm-hmm. from various communities, whether it's on this episode. I wrote an episode last year called She, which was based about a transgender child, and the first thing I said is we need to find a transgender child, and we did. We mm-hmm. found this wonderful young girl to play the role, and I think as much authenticity as we can give to any role, you know, our producers, David Shore, our creator, Aaron Gunn, our EP, they always say absolutely. You know, that is so important for all of our producers and all of our writers on the show.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we've discussed loving on this show is the amount of authenticity and research, the amount of research I'm sure that goes into making sure that all of the medical terminology is correct, making sure that you are portraying these characters the correct way and making sure that there is no, like, portraying any type of stereotypes. So we love that transparency and that authenticity with this show.
Definitely. Thanks. We try really hard about doing that. We have consultants in all different areas. We have an autism specialist who we consult with. And like we say, like, you know, you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. So we understand that they're, you know, just mm-hmm. like anybody else, you meet, you know, multiple people, that nobody's going to be exactly the same. But we want to understand and just really open the door on all different people from all different backgrounds that, hey, as much as we are different, we're also very much alike. And mm-hmm. so we all have different struggles and different, you know, things that we deal with in life, whether it's relationships with our parents or relationships, you know, of a sexual nature or whatever it might be.
And speaking of relationships, I think it's great to get into Sean's relationship with both Leah and Glassman this episode. So let's first touch on Sean and Leah. I know we had already kind of said there's some awkwardness. Yeah. Do we want to expand on that?
I mean, I thought it was really sweet. I actually didn't find it to be awkward because we're dealing with Sean and he's being authentic. And it's just really endearing. And I love the way he is really learning how to navigate relationship because he struggled so much in the beginning, but he's come a long way since episode one of season one. He's come so far as being able to take constructive criticism, lean in, be like, oh, so you're Jake, you know, I like him. And, you know, he's trying. And I think that's what a good person would do. And I just thought it was really endearing. I loved it. I love it. I love the effort he put in.
So yeah. I want to give a shout out to Frank S. in the chat. He says he likes how Leah and Sean's relationship is getting deeper, yeah. especially when he said, my life is better with you in it.
Oh, and I literally wrote that down in my notes.
Yeah. So I'm going to tag off a little bit of what Frank S. said because I still feel like Leah is shady boots and I don't want them living together. And so I don't know if she is as genuine as Sean is. And yes, Sean is learning, but she knows. And not to say that, like, she knows when she's using somebody. His is genuine, and he's not sure. And so then he does the research to find out, was this what is supposed to happen? Mm. Or he asks questions to people he trusts and confides in to see if he's doing the right way or how he should change. He internalizes and then makes a decision based on how he actually feels. Right. But Leah, she came back for what reason?
I just
well, we have someone who possibly knows.
Miss Simra, if you can give us a list, am I right? Is Leah, is she shady boots or not? I still think she has.
I want to check Paige after this, be like, they're calling you shady boots.
She has some underlying still needs. I think she's using Sean in a way. If you can expound upon that to help me feel a little better, then.
We don't think she's using Sean. Okay. I think that Paige really, Paige, sorry. Now I'm confounding the actress. Leah comes from a place of genuineness. Like she really, I think the thing that we loved about her character and the way that she interacts with Sean is that she treats Sean like Sean, like another dude. She doesn't talk about like, oh, you're the autistic guy or anything mm-hmm. like that. Like when we first meet her, you're the neighbor. You got batteries, you know, you got this, let's do this. And she was very reluctant, if you remember at the beginning of the season, about moving in with him, all of it. And she said, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. I know you think of me in a way that I don't think of you. And he said, I'm going to work on it. I can do this. And she still said no. So we had a whole bunch of episodes that really delved into that and about, we talked about them moving in and really trying to compromise about living together and, you know, just trying to evolve into this new roommate relationship and this new platform. And now with her dating, him saying, I think it's going to be okay. And she's like, are you sure? I'm sorry. I should have told you I would have brought some. I'm bringing somebody over. She's being trying to be as conscientious as possible, but then still trying to live her life.
Absolutely.
And taking him at his word. I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. And I think as much as you can say, and this goes for anybody who's neurotypical or not, I'm okay with it. Your heart still feels a different way.
Yeah.
And you see that. And it is heartbreaking because it, no matter who it is, if you know, I can say as much as I want, I'll just be your friend. But if your heart is feeling a different way, it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, you feel that. You feel the ache. And, you know, we all love Sean. Everybody wants to protect him and love him.
Yeah, that's probably the key. That's it.
Literally. Awkward. That's why I was like, it was awkward. But, I mean, like you just said, Simran, like, he agreed to that. She said, are you going to be okay with me bringing guys home? And he said, I could be okay with that. So I think that's just him trying to be okay with it, like you just said. So, I mean, he agreed. I know everybody feels bad for Sean, but he knew what he was walking into. He signed up for it.
Yeah, and she was, like I said, she was very cautious about that. And I think she does try to proceed with caution, and she does try to take his feelings into account. I don't think she does anything, you know, in a callous manner or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, she's very conscientious about preserving that relationship and that friendship, because I think, you know, she's, again, stated in previous episodes that, like, she doesn't have a good track record with dudes, you know, mm-hmm. and to have a genuine friendship with a guy, I think that even moving in with him, she was afraid of jeopardizing that friendship.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
So to her, the friendship is paramount.
Yeah. Okay.
See, I kind of saw it a different way. I didn't see it as like a romantic, like Sean being jealous over the fact that Leah is bringing guys home. I saw it as Sean has kind of very few genuine relationships in his life, very few people he really feels like he can count on. And I think this episode, he felt like he was being left behind because Leah was spending a lot of her time with someone else and kind of ignoring Sean. Mm. And then Glassman this episode was continuously telling Sean, I don't need you, go away, I don't need you. And so I kind of saw it as more Sean not being jealous, but Sean being worried he might be left alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's a great observation. I think in that way of like, I'm going to bring the orange juice because, you know.
Can we talk about that spread too?
Okay. I was like, let me get that popcorn and juice.
Makes sense, right? Like, if I like Jake, then Jake will hang out. Let me hang out. That means I get to then hang out more with Leah, you know, and not understanding that they're going to need alone time.
I think that was the part, too, the alone time where she had to kind of, like, break it to him. And he's just like, she'll allow it for this time, but future. That's the part that kind of just was like, made me just want to go give him a hug. Like, it's going to be okay. But I guess I feel like, thank you for, you know, confirming. I guess Leah is genuine and she's not shady.
Wait, is this an apology I'm hearing?
It is, yes.
After 13 episodes?
Because I've been on Leah for a while, so I'm sorry. But yeah, so I do feel that now, one of you just said, I'm sorry, but that it is about him now finding his cohort of friends or group of friends that may be outside of his work life and just to kind of have his circle too when he does need to venture out to other people if they're busy.
Yeah. And let's also quickly talk about his relationship with Glassman, because we did kind of touch upon this. Mm-hmm. What did we think? Tequila, you were saying we need Happy Glassman back.
We do.
Going into just, it goes back a little bit. So last year at Paley Fest, I was able to interview, not Dr. Glassman, because that's not his actual name, but yeah, it's Richard. And he has this very, which I love, and like all the other reporters were kind of getting like annoyed because he's very sarcastic, and I was laughing the whole time behind the scenes, and he was like, oh, you get me, right? And I was like, I think so, because it's funny. If it's not funny, I'm sorry. But so just to see that and to see how it kind of comes across a little bit in his character in the show, that's more of what I would like to see. And I don't like him hurting just the people around who I'm really trying to help. Again, I can understand the trial that he's going through, having chemo, having to go through that. And it is true. I just lost a friend to cancer. So she did push people away. And that's hard to deal with because you just want to be there and support and uplift and love on. But I don't like that he's just being mean to everybody. And it's just coming out of everywhere. And especially the Sean. Especially, was it last week, too, when he asked Sean, are we really friends? And I was like, how dare you? I was was annoyed. So, yeah, I want healthy Glassman back. Healthy Glassman back, who's on Sean's side, fighting for Sean against all the doctors and directors in the hospital and whoever else may come for Sean.
Okay, I'm going to, play a little bit of devil's advocate for you. Just because with brain surgery, because you guys knew about, my dad being a stroke survivor and having, 8 hours of brain surgery. It's just, it's brain surgery. Your emotions are affected, while they're in there. So you're going to have mood swings up and down. So I don't think, as we could see, towards the end that he did really want Sean there. I think there was just burst of, his emotion. There was no filter, just, really what he was thinking at the moment. But deep down, he really wanted him there. So, after any, especially brain surgery, serious operation, it does affect your personality.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of that, I definitely feel empathetic for him. And I can also see he's a strong character. And I can relate to that because it's it would drive me nuts if people had to do everything for me or if I wasn't able to do things. And it would make me angry and irritable. So I think that Leah nailed it when she's like, he's in pain, he's frustrated, and he's nauseous. So that's the beauty of having good friends is being able to go through the ups and downs. And Sean was able to do that gracefully by being, pushed away. But then okay, I'm not going to help, but I'm still your friend, So he's surrounded by wonderful people, which should also help in the healing process. Mm-hmm. But we got to allow him his grouchiness and his space to heal.
Well, I was just going to ask Simran, actually. No. Yeah.
How are we doing?
What was it? Because I know you have a room full of writers and you're there working alongside with them a lot of the time. What's it been like kind of working on this Richard's journey with Glassman this season?
It was really, like you said, it was very teed up at the end of last season, very much, with the brain cancer. And we really wanted to do it properly and pay tribute to that journey because we know it was such an important thing. We knew it wasn't going to just be a 3-episode arc, that it was going to be a season-long journey for Glassman and a season-long journey for Sean to watch his mentor, the pillar of his life, the pillar of this hospital, come to terms with battling this really life and death illness. And what was Sean's journey going to be like watching his mentor and best friend having to deal with this? So you're watching two people go through this journey and watching that relationship and how it evolves. How does, when you've relied on someone to be the person who you lean on, now you are the one who has to be leaned upon. And it's a little bit of a role reversal for that relationship and how Glassman, I'm sure it's very difficult for anybody, whether it's a parent or whether it's a mentor or, a teacher, to have to allow the student or to allow a child to then have to take over. And I think that it's just exploring all of that and just giving it the space and the air to really, let that grow and just breathe, from episode to episode. That's why it's been done. And I think David Shore has really thoughtfully, crafted that throughout the whole season and wanting us to have the space to do it for, all of the episodes.
I love that.
Very true.
Because it needs the space for that, just to stay true to what is really going on. It's not going to be one episode he's good and the next episode he's, one episode he's bad and then the next episode he's back to normal. I like the way that's you guys thought about that.
Sorry. Like we always say, though, too, just the authenticity of the show. That's a good point, because if you do have an argument, you might have to breathe on it. You might have to take a moment to step back and think, get your feelings in order before you respond or get that out. So I think that's a great point. And you all do great. All the writers do on the show.
Thank you. It's actually funny because we've been talking on the show about, especially with this journey, there's always the possibility it could turn out with a very unfortunate ending for Glassman. But we've been talking about on the show, in comparison to most medical dramas, The Good Doctor is kind of more so overall positive. There's not many patient cases where things go terribly wrong. There's always kind of a nice outcome. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of patiently sitting here waiting for something to drop. Something's going to happen. And we don't know if it's going to be this. And then a few episodes ago, we were teased with Dr. Lim maybe not making it through the quarantine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Y'all like making us panic.
A little bit. These
looking at her y'all like making us panic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's the reality. I mean, yes, but we do have the reality of sometimes people not making it and people sometimes you make what you think are the right decisions and they have unfortunate consequences or you make, poor decisions and they can have, they can have good consequences for, you know, good results for the patient, but they could have adverse consequences for the doctors or the family or, you know, and sometimes it's about making those tough decisions. And I think really going under, you know, David Shore really talks about, like, you know, when we're crafting these stories, about digging deeper. You know, it's, yes, it's great, you know, what are these cool, funky medical conditions, but it's really about the characters. Why are we exploring, you know, why are we meeting these characters? Why are Sean and Claire and, you know, Park and Lim and Melendez and, you know, why are they all, Morgan, why are they meeting these people? And why are they coming into our worlds? And how is Sean going to change these people? He may or may not, or adversely, you know, how are they going to change, you know, our characters? And it's about, like, just what is it about their lives and what is it about them? Why, what does it mean to have them in our world? Mm-hmm. And so it's really, you know, again, it's like, it's about the complex characters and, you know, really getting at the richness of humanity and what does that mean about the human condition. And, you know, I think that that's David's sweet spot. That's why he mm-hmm. is so great at what he does yeah. and why it's such a pleasure to work with him, because, you know, just really digging into what it means to, you know, finding those little nuggets and those threads about what makes humans so complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys have mastered that, because yeah. it permeates through the whole show, because everything that people, the characters have even either been through or are going through correlates to how they can serve the next person, whether it be the patient or somebody that they're working with.
Or themselves.
Mm-hmm. Or themselves.
Right. Yeah, there's yeah. so many, like, moral and ethical questions. And, yes. you know, mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, well, are you doing this? Is this a self-seeking, you know, decision? Or is it because you have an ego that you want to do this surgery? Or what, you know, what is it really telling about yourself? And mm-hmm. really, at the end of the day, they're regular people like you and me. They just happen to be having, you know, somebody's heart in their hands, you know, and it's never taking away the humanity of the fact that, you know, these are people, mm-hmm. you know, they're not just a patient. They're not just a lab report. They're not something. These are people. These are human beings. These are lives that you're affecting and changing. And I think that, like I said, David is a master at really honing into, like, you know, the complexity of, you know, the human condition and characters. It's what he did so beautifully at House and what he's done, you know, on Sneaky Pete and what he's done in Battle Creek and, you know, what he's done here. So to get the opportunity to work with him on this, it's like, everybody's like, yes, please. You know?
And of course, you know, with so many characters and with so much to talk about, I'm sure you guys love talking about TV as much as we do. And there's so much more TV that you could be talking about. And I will let Jamie take it from here.
Yeah, Veronica, thank you so much. So guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we actually need your help. So if you subscribe to YouTube right now, or if you're on YouTube right now, subscribe to any of our channels, hit the thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, give us 5 stars. Anything to just help us grow and show us the love. So no matter where you are, leave us a comment. We'll give you a shout out. You can get involved in our conversation. And being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us. So we truly appreciate your support and, excuse me, helping us do what it is that we love. And don't forget to tell your friends. And please keep enjoying our shows. So we actually do have a couple of fan questions, don't we?
We do.
We do. Awesome. They're actually for you, Simran. So, dun, dun, dun. Terry the introvert wants to know, how was it, because Freddie Highmore wrote the first episode, so how was it working with him behind the scenes?
You know, Freddie is a consummate professional. He doesn't dig into or dive into anything without giving 100%. He really, you know, it was so funny. He was on hiatus. He could have been, you know, on a beach somewhere and just, you know, drinking Mai Tais, but he didn't. He came into the offices and he was there day in, day out, pitching stories, writing note cards, you know, throwing out ideas, eating lunches for like weeks. I mean, it must have been at least 5 weeks. I mean, you know, he was there for the beginning of the season and he, you know, he was there 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., however long we were there. But he was really in there in the trenches with us. And before we knew it, he was like one of us. And we were just sitting at the conference table. And before you know it, he was just, there was no pretense about, you know, like, oh, this is number one on the call sheet. This is Freddie Highmore. It was just, he was one of us. Mm-hmm. And it was just really lovely and wonderful to see his insights and just really his thoughtfulness to the process and to just engaging with everybody, you know. And I think, you know, he turned out a really, really beautiful episode. And it was really a lot of fun to work with him. And, you know, he's not writing any more episodes this season, but he did direct an episode that'll be coming up in two.
Ooh.
Yeah. So episode episode 215. So in a couple of weeks, you'll see he directed that episode, which is written by Liz Friedman and David Renaud. So yeah, it's a really good one.
That's awesome.
He's multi-talented.
I know. That's
great. And then we actually have another question. Yes. What's it like writing for a medical drama as opposed to another type of show, comedy or straight-up drama? Because you can't do normal things another show. Like, if for example, a backstory of a character. You can't just do an episode of a backstory. Like, we kind of noticed you've woven in the character's backstory throughout multiple episodes and, of course, all of the research. So could you explain a little bit more about writing for a medical drama specifically?
Well, you know, I think every medical drama is different. I've written for a couple of them. I wrote on Chicago Med and I wrote on Royal Pains. But I think everybody is, you know, it's structured differently. You know, there are some shows that are more serialized. There are some that are, you know, far more procedural in element. But at the end of the day, like, shows that are attractive to me, whether it's a legal show or it's, you know, a more serialized show, it's about the characters. It really comes down to, you know, is this are these characters rich? Are they exciting? Are they complicated? Are they, you know, I love, you know, the fact that they're ordinary people sometimes put in extraordinary circumstances. And it may sound odd, but I think these are ordinary people. Being in a hospital, you know, putting your hands in somebody's heart, like I said, is that's an extraordinary circumstance. And how does that change you? How does that evolve you? And it's really about, are you able to dig into those characters and really, you know, have them evolve and have them change? And what is that about? So I think it's about, you know, how does your showrunner see characters and how important is that to your showrunner into the process of telling stories and, you know, crafting television? And like I said, you know, David to me is like on the Mount Rushmore of showrunners. And so to get an opportunity to work with him, because I know that, you know, characters are first and foremost in his world as far as, you know, writing television. That's what's important to me, too. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of digging into these characters, we all know that you created Dr. Resnick and Dr. Lim's characters. What inspired you to create those characters? Because to me, they're just strong, powerful women, and I love it.
Well, yeah, I love that about them, too. Dr. Lim, she premiered in Not Fake, which was last year. It was the episode with the wedding bus that crashed. So it was the first time we had like a really big trauma in the show, and we knew that those people were going to come in through the ER. So I'm like, if they're coming through the ER, we need a trauma surgeon. And so I pitched to David, you know, I was born and raised in San Jose. That's where I'm from. And I grew up in the Bay Area. And for me, I'm all about like, I'm like, well, representation. I want to see, you know, an Asian, you know, female. And we didn't have any attendings on the show yet that were women. You know, we had Dr. Andrews and we had Dr. Melendez and we had Dr. Glassman. So I just pitched David, said, hey, can we have like a badass female trauma surgeon and can she be Asian? And he's like, great. Yeah. And that's David. He's always open to like any ideas. Like, all right, he'll hear anything. So that's what's great about him too. There's always this open door policy about like, you want to say something, you want to pitch something, let's hear it. And so that's what I did. I just wrote that character and he was like, let's do it. And so we were fortunate. We went out with casting and we cast, you know, Christina Chung, who is fantastic. And, you know, she was just like, she hit the page and she hit the screen and we were like, we love her. And then we cast her. We're like, will you come back and do another episode? And before we knew it, we're like, can you come back and be a series regular? Yeah.
She is totally happy. So, which is every call and actor wants to get, right?
No, but she knocked it out of the park and she's such a delight. She's such a wonderful human being and just, you know, yeah, she's an all-around, like, amazing human and an awesome actress, and we're very lucky to have her. And then Dr. Resnick's character, you know, we had talked about in the room in general about really, you know, bringing in somebody new to kind of, like, shake up. At that point, we had Claire and Jared and Sean had become this very symbiotic, really lovely, you know, harmonious trio. We're like, everybody's getting along a little too well. Let's, you know, ruffle little feathers. And so the idea was like, let's try to bring somebody in to do that. And I had written my second episode last year was called She, and it was right around the time I was like, oh, this is a really kind of interesting time to bring somebody in and let's kind of shake it up and we'll kind of divide them into teams. And we kind of made it like a little contest. It was going to be, you know, Team Melendez and Team Lim. And it was going to be like, you know, whoever gets like the most votes from getting their patient satisfaction surveys back. And it was like, here's this new person, like, and who is she? And we just liked the idea of somebody, you know, again, you know, Claire is a very strong, smart woman. And we liked Resnick being a strong, smart woman, but she was just like, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to cut you. I'm going to tell you I'm going to cut you. You know, like a little bit of like, I'm competitive and I'm going to be very blunt about it. And I'm just, and it's not that, it's not the way Claire navigates her game. Like, it's not that she's not competitive. It's not that she's not strong, but she was just like, who are you? And so we just liked that she was just, you know, maybe a little bit more abrasive. And we wanted her to be that way. We wanted her to come off a little bit more blunt and a little bit more competitive, but didn't, you know, and maybe at first, you know, she might have come off a little bit more villainous, but not in no terms did we ever want her to be one dimensional. I think, and as she has come across it towards, again, you know, you start out with a character and hopefully, you know, you'll get, be able to dig deeper into who she is. And I think that oftentimes when you have these characters, those with the most thorns are often the ones that are the most sensitive. And hopefully we've been starting to peel back the layers of the onion that are, you know, Dr. Resnick, and finding out a little bit more and more about her, that she's a little bit more complicated than we thought. And she's not just, you know, the tough girl who doesn't want to have friends.
I want to say thank you for that, because when when she was first introduced, I know myself and a couple of our chatters were like, oh, Morgan is horrible. Dr. Resnick is just... Oh,
you had another nickname for her, so, too. In addition to, like, what it was? Shady Boots. It was something else, but...
I come up with them and it just happens. But yes, I'm glad you said that and you gave us the detail, because now I feel better about giving you or receiving what you wanted the audience to get, which we just thought she was just evil. We were like, oh...
Well, it's funny, too, that you bring that up, because it was very clear in the beginning Morgan was a little bit more abrasive, a little bit more blunt, a little bit more competitive. But even this episode and the last couple of episodes, we've been seeing a softer side of her. Mm-hmm. Last week with her outing with Claire, and then this episode, she's giving love advice, which is very different, because normally Morgan would be the more blunt one in the situation. But she was, I felt like she was speaking from the heart this episode. What do you guys think?
Yeah, she was still blunt, but she was speaking from the heart. And I love the bluntness. I love Claire for the sweetness, but I love somebody who can get in and be like, I'm here to win. I'm here to do this. I'm here to get on board, sweetie. Or, you know, I love that mode of hers. So, but it was, even in the love advice, she was still very much like, yeah, because that's what people do in relationships. Like, she's still very sharp about it. And I love it.
That's a good friend right there.
Yes. Yeah. You'll never have to guess about what she's thinking or,
Yes, absolutely. I don't know, like, going back to where you're talking about, like, I just want to, like, jump back more into, like, Dr. Lim and, you know, Melendez. I feel like that's a great relationship.
So cute. Mm-hmm.
And we actually have a fantastic photo that I want to pull up of Christina, and Nick and, Hill. Like, yes, all those three actors right there. And this is where they
almost got caught.
It looks like they were like going in for like a kiss, but then their boss walks in, Dr. Andrews, and he's like, hello guys, I'm glad to see you're getting along. And it's just I'm kind of on the, I think, didn't I bring this up last week where I said the chief of surgery position, where it's going to be open. I feel like that's going to be a test of their relationship. Yes. Mm. And I want somebody else. Simran. I want somebody else to come in and take the job, because that is going to like cause a problem for their relationship, and I'm not ready for it.
I know. We want to like see this. We want to see it grow. We were waiting.
I'm just coming up with a name. Dr. Take. There we go. That'll be the new person.
That's taking
it. Yeah. Take. There you go.
Well, I mean, Andrews is like the voice of the audience. He's the voice of you right now. He's like, yeah, I don't want you guys competing anymore. Yeah. You're nicer like this. So,
exactly. I think Andrews knows what's going on, because he kind of gave a little.
You can't be that.
Walking out the elevator. He kind of
smart guy. He doesn't know that.
No. I got a little vibe. You did. Andrews might know a little something.
Look, okay. I'm like turning to Simran. Yeah. Does he know?
Does he know?
But that's the fear, right? That's the fear of anybody who's in that kind of a relationship, especially if you're, you're, you know, knocking boots with your coworker, and it's like, you know, the walls have ears, and she's trying to be very protective. He's the one who's cozying up to her in that scene in the elevator, and she's like, "Are you crazy? Like, what in the elevator?" And you know, and I think she's just being conscientious about trying to preserve their workspace and their personal space. And I think it's smart. And I think that also being a woman, I think things are different, you know, things are perceived differently for women in those kinds of relationships when you're, you know, in that workspace environment. Speaking personally, that happened to me many years ago. In a relationship with, we were both single, but we were both in a relationship and we were both working together. And it was like, I didn't want people to know, because I didn't want to be judged by it. And I didn't want them to think that there was, he was a year senior to me in the office. And I didn't want to think there was, we were never in the same department, but, you know, still in the same umbrella of the office. And I just, and it was like a whole thing I didn't want people to know. And we ended up getting engaged. And then when people said, oh, who are you engaged to? I'm like, oh yeah, Vince down the street. And they're like, what? How? I'm like, oh yeah. And people didn't know that we had been dating and that he was my boyfriend from college. And now I've been married to him for like, you know, 15 years. But like, you know, it was like the whole thing. But I very purposefully kept it separate because I thought, you know, I understand. So, you know, you bring sometimes a lot of your, we all in the writer's room and everything, bring a lot of our personal experiences. And we talk about that really openly in the writer's room. And I'm sharing my own personal story. I won't share other people's personal stories. But, you know, I talk about that. Like, I know what that's like. I know what, and I know what that's like from the point of view from a woman, where it might be different from the point of view of a man who's like, that's no big deal. I'm like, it may not be a big deal for you, but it may be a bigger deal for her, even though they're on the same level.
I love that.
Yes, I do too. And because we have your personal experience, but my thing about them dating is because you can't, for me and my boyfriend, fiance, whoever, I'm not going to want to like keep my hands off of you. And we have to be professional. Mm-hmm. So if we're in the elevator, that's a perfect time. Hug, if we're in the calf or somewhere, I want to eat with you. Come eat with me.
Baby. I'm more
I want to do that. So it probably couldn't work well for me because one of us would have to find a new career. But yeah.
I think I'm more classic. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I'm similar to you, Simran. Like, well, no one would know, like, where, you know, because I keep the PDA at home. Nah. So, yeah, I think I would be, I'd be really good at
it. I see fireworks. If you, oh, it's just, and everything else is just out of order. There's no one else. It's tunnel visual with the hearts.
Yeah, like one of the filters with the hearts.
Instagram filter.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. You have your own Sean vision.
Uh-huh. Exactly. This is what Jamie looks like when she sees Dr. Melendez.
Hearts.
Let's just throw up his picture again.
Yeah.
Can we throw up his picture one more time for her?
And he's so handsome. And you know what? Really, to be honest, the first thing I thought when I saw him in the elevator, it's so funny because my mind was like, I wonder if there's a camera in the elevator. Because there's a lot of cameras in the elevators normally. And I was like, you know what? Dr. Lim's about that life. She rides motorcycles. She likes to kick it.
She can live on. She could live her life on the edge. Yeah.
She can live just a little.
Just a little bit. Though.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Spelled it.
So handsome.
So Simran, this is the part in the show where because there are so many great characters in the show doing great, great work, like saving lives, caring for their patients. We also like time to highlight a real-life good doctor, someone who's doing great in the real world, whether it's a doctor, a technician, a nurse, whoever they may be. And this is where Tequila gives us who our Doctor of the Week is.
Thank you, Veronica. So Doctor of the Week is Dr. Bath. She is the first African-American to complete a residency in ophthalmology and the first African-American female doctor to receive a medical patent. She was the first female faculty member in the Department of Ophthalmology at UCLA's Jules Stein Eye Institute and the nation's first female residence program chair. Bath co-founded the American Institute for the Prevention of Blindness after she invented the laser phaco probe for cataract treatment. Mm. She discovered that African Americans were twice as likely to suffer from blindness and eight times more likely to develop glaucoma than others, and as a result, created a community ophthalmology system, which increased eye care to the undeserved. So that's a little bit about Dr. Bath. And I was surprised, actually, that she has a patent, too. I think that's really huge in the medical field. Amazing. Exactly. And just a little bit of kudos, because she did half of her undergrad at Howard University, my alumni. So that, like, again, warmed my heart a little bit more. So, but yes, Dr. Bath and helping the undeserved with glaucoma and blindness.
Amazing. We love it. All right, let us get into some predictions for next week's episode.
And now, you're After Buzz TV.
I love it.
She's laughing at us.
You're laughing and making me laugh.
We're serious about it.
All right, ladies, what do we got? Anything?
Can I have a minute to think? Can I go last? Can
you go? I didn't know what I was going to say. As far as predictions, I think that possibly we get a little bit more focus on Morgan for some reason, maybe next episode, because we've been touching on her a little bit, but I think we might go a little bit deeper into something, you know, highlighting her as a character. And yeah, like I said, I kind of think Andrews might throw a little, all right, Jabba, be careful. And I don't know how tight Andrews is on an office romance, but I sort of feel like he knows. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. So I feel like he might see something next episode that prompts him to give him the side eye. And I also do think Glassman is going to cheer up a little bit. And that is all that I can predict. Ooh, as far as what I think next, you know, week will happen.
That's good. For me, I feel like Sean's bubble's going to pop in terms of Leah. Like, he's going to let her know how he feels, because I feel like just having Jake there almost every day is going to take a toll. So I feel like Sean might, you know, at least not, like, say something to her, just because this episode was so much about love and, like, you know, confessing, you know, and we saw those two characters. He's like, I think I love you, you know. So I feel like that's going to happen. I agree with you on that. Glassman might get a little bit more happy.
Yeah.
And... oh my gosh. In terms of, I don't think Andrews knows, but I think that Chief of Surgery is definitely going to come in between Lim and Linda's relationship, because it's a promotion for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I was going to ask Simran, is there anything you can share with us? Yes. Well, no, it's like you shared that Freddie is directing an upcoming episode. So anything kind of along those lines, anything else?
Well, next week's episode is called Faces. It's written by David Hoselton. And what I can tell you is that when David Hoselton writes an episode, bring out, you should make sure you have tissues.
Well, great.
I can feel it.
So it just, a whole bunch of emotions just went on, because Billie Jean Girl 24 in the chat asks, is anyone excited to see next week's episode, because she thinks Sean's going to get high with Dr. Glassman. And so at first I was like, oh, wait, what? Okay, good. But then when you just said, bring out the tissues, I think that just ruined that for us, Billie Jean Girl 24. I would have loved to see that, actually. It probably would have been awesome.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Oh, okay. So we might be on to something. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, all I can say is we got to be patient, and we cannot wait for next week. And unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Good Doctor After Show. Simran, thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So appreciate it. We know writers are incredibly busy, and the fact that you dedicated your time to being here with us tonight, we appreciate it so much.
No, I loved hanging with your squad. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Squad. I like it. Yeah.
And where can the fans find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at sbade1.
And ladies, where can the fans find you on social media?
Hello, AfterBuzzers again. Thanks for always tuning in to The Good Doctor. I am Tequila. You can find me at Tequila_IAM.
And yes, I am Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Cook with Carlina, and then everywhere else at Cooking with Carlina. I have a new recipe dropping on Friday.
Nice. Hey, guys, Veronica Valencia here. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at it's me, Veronica_V. Again, thank you so much to Simran. Let's give her a round of applause.
Thanks.
Be sure to tune in next week, because apparently we need tissues.
Okay. Like, can you come back next week?
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.